I don't know about you, but man, a fucking eventful day here. Our day was mostly going okay until we were watching TV, and then all of a sudden, Juno is like nowhere to be seen. We're like, what are you doing? Small puppy, you're like a child. If we don't hear you and we don't see you, that's bad news. So she's just like licking this little puddle of water, and we were like, did you pee? But nope, our ceiling was leaking because it was raining all day.
What the fuck?
So it rained inside our apartment. Just cool.
That's
fine. So we just put a bowl out, and then the emergency maintenance guy came, and he was like, hey, I'll go put something in the attic to catch the water before it drips into your apartment, but that's really all I could do for now. He's like, but I'll call a company first thing tomorrow morning and have them come take a look at it and fix it. So that's cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was just kind of like a what the fuck moment, because we've had this like line on our ceiling since we moved in, and it looked like a crack a little bit. And it's just like where the plaster is completely coming apart, and it just started opening more and more and more, and like letting more water out.
Oh, that's fun.
So now there's like basically a vagina in our ceiling that's like peeing into our apartment. So that's cool.
Yeah, your day is much more eventful than mine.
Yeah. I don't know. I mostly just did work.
I worked on this podcast stuff, and had an existential crisis. I messaged my psychiatrist, and ate a lot of food. That's about it.
Yeah, we have just been like massing, like accruing leftovers from all these places we were ordering out from. And yesterday we finally were like, okay, we'll start small. We'll go to the store and we'll get like 2 or 3 days worth of food. And then we'll make a list and we'll go back to the store in a few days. So we did that. But then today we had all these leftovers. So we were like, here's a chicken biscuit. We had a bunch of pineapple. We had donuts, a pizza, Buffalo Wild Wings. I had leftover Olive Garden pasta, and we had breadsticks leftover.
A burger, some chicken, and a pizza.
Exactly.
Do you remember that time you sent me a picture of Sean in the MP and he has a plate with a burger and chicken and a pizza?
No, but I believe it.
Oh, I found it the other day. I'll send it to you. It makes me laugh every time I see it.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds like Sean.
Yeah.
Love him. He won't hear this for a few weeks because he's very behind. Some number one fan he is. No, just kidding. He had midterms all week last week, so he like was studying really hard for those and stuff. And then he also had a cyst, which also really cool. So we've just been rocking it at life lately. So like, I hope you enjoyed the video I sent you of Juno laying on my boobs. That's our favorite place to nap.
That's so cute.
It really is. I'll like lay on the couch for like a 15-minute just like break from work, and I'll lay there, and as soon as I do, Juno's like springs up on her little spring graceful legs and just boop boop, and she's right there.
Yeah. Oh, I really, really wish I had like a pet right now. Like, I think if I had a dog or a cat right now, my entire state of like well-being would be immensely improved.
Like when I was, especially I only lived alone for like 3 months, like completely alone, like it was just me in the apartment, but Shelby was like so immensely helpful because I was like an hour away from all my friends and my family, And so I was like, what do you do? I didn't have a TV and I didn't feel like buying one. So I just was like, okay, well, I'm gonna read books. And I literally just like the only times I would get out of bed were like to let Shelby out.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I don't know. I keep seeing everybody post pictures of their like puppies and their cats and like take them on walks and shit. And I'm like, see, if I had a reason, like if I had to get out of bed, maybe I would feel a little bit better. But right now, I'm like, everything's meaningless. Nothing has a purpose. Nothing, like, nothing has a point. Why are we even here? So I'm like, I really just need to get a fucking dog. But Matt is insistent that we can't afford one, which is true. We're poor. But also, like, I don't know. We don't have room in our apartment for a dog, honestly. So.
I mean, depending on the kind of dog that you get, like Juno gets exercised by running back and forth across our living room. Because she's little enough that
Yeah.
like that's like a workout for her.
Yeah. Well, see, I don't really care what kind of dog. Like, I just love all dogs. But Matt is like more particular. He's never had a dog. He's never had a pet. So,
Poor Matt.
yeah, I know. But he likes huge, giant, beefy ass dogs, which like our apartment has like a poundage limit on your dogs, like which, but it's 100 pounds, like that's still a like that's a huge
Yeah.
dog. So, he wants like a lab. They have so much energy
Yeah, that's what I
and.
like about dachshunds is that they like are sassy and cuddly, and they still want to go like walk around and do stuff. But
Yeah.
like, I mean, Shelby could go 2 miles, and that would probably be like pretty close to the end of her limit, which is also my limit, which works out perfectly. Because yeah, I'm not gonna ever commit to like taking a dog for a run every day. Like, I'm not
No.
that kind of person, and some people are, and that's great for them.
Yeah, I think, well, one that we agree on is a corgi. So maybe when Matt starts making the Buku books, we'll get a corgi. I already have names picked out, so.
Oh.
But I told him, I was like, we'll have to get two because they're going to need a friend.
Yeah.
So I want to name one Pancake and one Sausage.
Aw. You should get a wiener dog named Sausage.
I know. I want a, like a long-haired dachshund. They're so
I'm
pretty.
not as big of a fan as the lot of the long hair ones as I am the short hair ones.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, but I recommend them as a dog breed. They're excellent. I'm a little
Yeah.
biased.
I mean, I would love to get a wiener dog. I don't know how Matt feels about wiener
They're
dogs,
the best. They're
but
kind of like cats, but
I.
they're also dogs.
Yeah. I mean, I'll just take any kind of dog right now, honestly. So.
Okay, I'll put Juno in a box and mail her to you, and you can keep her for a few days.
Okay. She'll probably like the trip.
Well, she's sitting in here making a fuck ton of noise because she keeps getting up and walking around and.
I hear her little clippity-clop
Yeah,
nails.
she just jumped off the bed and dove into the blinds to get a tennis ball that was behind the blinds, which I'm like, I don't even know how you saw that.
Aww, babies.
Okay, well, we've had our 15 minutes of conversation like usual. So, hi, hello, everyone.
Hello.
This is Spoopy
Welcome.
Crappy.
Yes, prepare to be spooked.
And crapped to the max. Although my story this week isn't spoopy or crappy, really. So I realized that as
Mine
I finished it.
is not either. Mine's not really either. It's more like mysterious.
Mine isn't mysterious either. It's just, I guess, a story.
Oh,
It's
okay.
a crime.
That's cool. We said,
It's a crime, though.
we said no murder. So that is open to interpretation.
Yeah, there's
And
a
I
lot of
think,
different directions.
yeah, and this is good. This gives us a chance to joke a little more, I think.
Yeah, that was another thing, was I was trying to pick something that wasn't as heavy. I feel like since
Yeah.
we did the cryptid episode, all of the things that I've done have been like heavier. So I wanted to do something that's a
Yeah.
little bit less heavy.
Yeah, me too. So, this is what episode is this? 15?
Yeah.
14? 15? Okay. So that means I go first, right?
You go first.
Okay. Okay. So, it actually took me a really long time to pick a topic for this one
Same.
because, like, I am indecisive as fuck about literally everything in my life. But, like, especially, like, it was the same way when I was in school, and they'd be like, oh, you can write a paper about anything you want. I'm like, don't tell me that because then I won't pick a topic and it's going to be 8 hours before the paper's due and I'm going to be frantically trying to write it because I had finally just picked a
Yep.
topic. So, and that's exactly what happened. I switched my topic like five
Same.
times and I finished writing it at like 5 o'clock my time here today.
Oh, I
So,
finished writing mine like 5 minutes before I texted you and said, "Hey, are you ready?" Which I did have my topic picked out before that, but you can ask Matt. I texted him like three different things. I was like, "Did Katie pick a topic?
Oh, he
I'm gonna pick
told me.
this." And then I was like, "No, I'm gonna switch my mind."
Yeah, he's like, Natalie's changed hers a whole bunch. And I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. So,
I was like, that's okay, me too.
yeah.
Okay, so I was trying to find something like a lot of the things that I would find where I'm like, oh, cool. Like, it wasn't directly a murder, but like there would be a murder involved in it. Or like there was a few missing persons cases that I considered doing, but then it was like one of them was connected to a serial killer. Eventually they found out and like all this stuff. So I'm like,
Yeah.
God damn it. Like, I want no murder. So I watched a bunch of BuzzFeed Unsolved episodes and almost picked like three different ones of those. And then I came back to one of the first ones that I've had on my list, and I've been wanting to do this for a while. And this one is particularly interesting to me because I have like firsthand experience with it. So yeah, pretty cool. So I am going to talk about the mysterious Paulding Lights.
Ooh.
Yes. So I know you have heard of the Paulding Lights because of me, and other people probably too. But for those who don't know, the Paulding Lights are these like weird, mysterious lights that appear like in kind of like a wooded valley outside of this really tiny little, it's not even a town, they're unincorporated, it's like a community called Paulding. It's like 13 and a half miles south of the town of Ontonagon in Michigan's Upper Peninsula. So these lights, some people say that like they've been seeing them for decades, and then some people say that like they've been talked about for centuries. Like they say there are stories in the folklore of the local Native American tribes that talk about the lights. So nobody really knows when they were first seen or anything, but the first recorded reports of the lights began in the 1960s. And a bunch of like teenage boys had been out in the woods, probably just fucking around doing dumb teenage boy stuff.
Probably.
I mean, that's what Yuba kids do, at least. I don't know about anybody else, but I spent many a summer drunk in the woods. So,
Nope.
Yeah, so they were out there and they saw the lights, and then they kept trying to figure out what they were. Like, they kept trying to go towards them and like figure out what was causing them. But they couldn't figure it out, so they reported to the sheriff. And then a whole legend began. So I first heard about the Paulding lights. I was a sophomore in high school. So I grew up in Calumet, Michigan, which is about an hour and a half, like 85-ish miles or so, northeast of where Paulding is. So my 10th grade civic world geo teacher, Mr. Glenn, shout out, he had been promising to tell us the story about the Paulding lights, and I had never heard of them up until this point. But he was like, we had done really good on a test or something, so our treat for the day was like, we're not gonna learn anything, and he's just gonna tell us about the Paulding lights.
Nice.
So he told us, and I don't remember exactly all the details or anything because this was like how long ago now? So, oh, it's been what, 10, what, 13 years ish, 10, 12, anyway. Yeah, so something like him and his friends had gone down to the area to go camping, because there's a campground that's kind of like next to the area where the lights are, or at least there used to be. I don't know if there still is. But yeah, so him and his friends, way back in the day, they went down there to go camping. And I don't know if they had like planned to try to see the lights already at that point, or if they had heard about them from someone there or whatever. But for whatever reason, they go and try to see the lights. They get there, they see the lights, and then they're told what is supposedly the story of the Paulding lights, like what they are. So this is what he told us. So the area that the Paulding lights are in is kind of like, it's like a long field with like really tall grass, and it's surrounded on all sides by like forests. There are some like creeks that run through there, and I'll explain why I know that in a moment. But otherwise, it's all like grass and trees and stuff. There's a path trail kind of thing that sort of goes through the grass, and there is a string of like telephone poles that run alongside of it. And the path, I mean, now it probably exists because of people who are like going out there and walking the trail trying to get close to the lights or whatever. But way back in the day, there used to be railroad tracks there because the UP is like a huge lumber supplier. So they would have all these trains all over the place up there carrying lumber and iron ore and all that stuff. So the tracks aren't there anymore, but you can still see like where they were. So Mr. Glenn told us that back in the day when there was still a railroad there, there was a railroad brakeman who had been crushed to death when he tried to stop an oncoming train from crashing into some other railroad cars that were like stuck stalled out on the tracks. So he said that, like, the legend that he was told is that the Paulding lights were the ghost of the railroad brakeman, like swinging his lantern around, trying to stop the train from crashing into the other one. Yeah. So there are some other stories too, like some people say it's the ghost of like a murdered mailman, which I don't know why a mailman would be shining lights, but whatever.
Yeah, just chilling in the
Some
middle of a
people,
field. Because
yeah.
there's a lot of
Some
mail.
people say,
There's a lot of
he's
mail.
like, come get
Yeah,
your mail.
he just stands in the middle of the town and says, "Hey, everyone." But there were probably only like 14 people in town, so if he yelled loud enough, they probably could all come.
Yeah, I mean, literally, like, I'll tell you in a sec. Okay, so another thing people say is it's the ghost of a Native American who is dancing on the power lines, but like, I don't know. And somebody says that it's somebody who's looking for a lost, like looking for their lost kid with a lantern. But the lantern won't stay lit, and that's why the light comes and goes. And some people say that it's a light from the train itself, like it's a fucking ghost train or some shit, just choo-chooing on through. But the railroad worker story that I heard is like the main big one. Like that's what most people heard and like what most people say. So of course, me having always been intrigued by the paranormal, I was like, fuck yes, I have to go to see this shit.
Of course.
And so at that point, I was 15. I did not have a license. Most of my friends did not have a license. My douchebag boyfriend had one, but he was a fuck. So, yeah. So the first time I went to go see it wasn't until a few years later. It was the summer after I graduated. So it was like summer 2010. So there was a bunch of my friends. There's probably literally like 12 to 14 of us who are just like, fuck yes, like we're gonna go see the lights. So it was like me and my one boyfriend who was not the other boyfriend that I had initially. And then like my best friends and then like boyfriend's friends. And yes, there is so many of us. So we just piled into cars and sat illegally with too many people in the cars and
Like
drove
you
all the way there.
do in the EP.
Yes, I remember my friend Jeff, like my friend Sean had a Jeep and it was like me and my boyfriend and Sean and like all the and like the rest were just dudes that we hung out with. So it was like me and a bunch of dudes. And my friend Jeff was like in the trunk in the Jeep. And we had stopped at McDonald's on the way dinner time when we left. Because it takes like, at least an hour and a half to get there. And so Jeff is like laying down in the trunk, just like eating McDoubles. Oh, good times.
Makes me think of when we went camping in the QAnon, and there was like six of us, and so we all wanted to go in one car, so German just rode in the trunk everywhere.
I know she did that for your bachelorette party
Yeah,
too.
she was like, we'll just relive old times.
Yeah, she. I mean, I don't know. I think she likes riding in the trunk. Oh, Derman. Yeah. So we all went out there, and there was like a shitload of other people out there because, like, this is a huge deal. Like, people come from literally all over, like the world even, to try and come see these things. So we're sitting there like waiting to see some shit and we're dicking around because we're 17 and that's what we do. So it was like maybe an hour later that we saw the first light. So it was like halfway up the tree line and kind of like a pale bluish color. And a bunch of us were like, holy shit. And we decided to walk down that trail to see if we could get closer to it and try to figure out what it was. And that's how I learned that there were like creeks that went through there because it was pitch black. We're out in the middle of fucking nowhere. There are absolutely no lights to be seen
No.
except this Paulding light. And we were like, we didn't bring flashlights because we're fucking stupid. And so we're just kind of just running through the darkness on this trail into the woods we've never been to. And I fell into like three fucking creeks. So yeah, we just like seriously walked and walked and walked and like the light would like fade in and out. But you could see it for like almost the whole time that we are walking, but we seriously, it felt like we never got any closer. Like the size didn't change, like nothing. It was
Weird.
really bizarre. Yeah. So we ended up going back because we're all old and soaking wet and like our shit's all ripped up from sticks and shit. So we went back to like where everyone else was, like where the cars are parked and stuff, and we stayed there for a few hours and just watched these lights appear. And it's super weird because a light would like show up and then stick around for a while. And this was anywhere, like the lights would stay there from anywhere from like a few seconds to like 10, 15 minutes. And then it would be gone, and then a different one would show up. But the weirdest part, I think, is that every time a light showed up, it's always in a different location. It sometimes like it'll be way down by the grass. Sometimes it's like up high in the trees. Sometimes they seem like kind of close to you. Other times they seem really far away. And they were like different colors. So sometimes they're like white or yellowy. They'd be like a pinkish color or like a pale blue or a purple or a green. It was like seriously the wildest shit. So I tried to go out there again the following like fall. So this is like fall 2010-ish with a different group of friends, but it's like I said, seriously in the middle of buttfuck nowhere, and we got lost and never made it there. There's nothing like on the drive there, there's literally nothing but trees and a two-lane highway with nobody else on it. And like I said, in the town, like there's literally maybe like two blocks that is like the quote-unquote town. And it's mostly like houses where crabby old people live. but there's not like a gas station or something you can stop into and like ask for directions. Like, no. So we got lost. And of course, like, obviously, as with most of the UP, there's no cell phone service. And this was 2010. So like smartphones were like just really starting to get going, and like
Yeah, that
GPSs on your
was like
smartphone.
paid for
Yeah.
data. It was like super bougie.
Yeah, so like none of us had a GPS on our phones. Yeah, so we got lost. And we for literally hours, we didn't get home till like 5 o'clock in the morning. And I had to be at work. I had to be at work at 6 a.m. So I literally just got home, took a shower, and then took a shitload of caffeine pills to keep me awake at work. So that was a total shit show. But yeah, so I have a personal experience with this particular phenomenon, I guess we'll call it, which is pretty
Yeah.
cool. Yeah. So of course this thing became like a huge mystery. Tons of people started trying to solve it, as with most mysteries.
Yeah.
So it became such a huge thing that paranormal investigators from all around the country started coming there. There was a show on Sci-Fi Network called Fact or Faked Paranormal Files. They did an investigation there, I think in like tw I think that was in 2010 actually. And they did all kinds of experiments and shit trying to recreate the lights somehow. They tried it with different cars, they tried an airplane flying over, a whole bunch of shit. They did like EVP sessions and stuff, and in the end they were just like, yeah, we have no idea what this is. This is an unexplained phenomenon, whatever. And then it became such a huge mystery that at one point Ripley's, believe it or not, was offering $100,000 to whoever could solve the mystery of
Wow.
it. Which is pretty fucking cool. I
Yeah.
never knew that. So it's a big deal. Like people are really into it. And like still today people are trying to like debunk it. Supposedly in 2010, some students at Michigan Technological University, fucking techies,
Nerds.
true. for anyone who doesn't know, that was our school's rival school. So yeah, a bunch of techies supposedly solved the mystery. And they're just like, oh, these lights are, they're just headlights from cars driving by on a nearby highway. But I don't believe that shit for a second.
No.
Like having seen these things, there's just no way that they're headlights. Like, how is a headlight gonna be way up in the sky 1 second and then close to you on top of the grass and the bushes in a completely different color the next?
Well, and
Like,
if they had paranormal investigation teams come, like those teams would have ruled out that obvious like science first.
Yeah, exactly. 'Cause like there's been a whole bunch of them, and it's like I don't know about like other paranormal things, but most of the paranormal teams I see are like, okay, how can we debunk this before we jump to this conclusion? Oh, it's haunted. And like I said, even that sci-fi show that went there, they tried like dozens of ways to like get like be able to see something. Excuse me, I keep hiccuping. And like they couldn't figure it out. So I'm like, okay, so these fucking like 19-year-old college kids are gonna be like, no, it's just cars. I don't buy that shit. Also, like I said, this is in the middle of fucking nowhere. There aren't a ton of people out there driving all night long or anything, and there aren't tons of people driving through there during the day even. Like, you can see these lights almost every single night. Like, there's not enough traffic in that area for the lights to be headlights every single time. Like, maybe some of them are headlights, but there's no way that all of them are. Yeah, I don't buy that. So some paranormal researchers who have tried to like solve the mystery say that they're interested in it because there's a lot of other similar light cases around the US, which is pretty interesting. So some of the cases have been solved. Like they found out like, oh, it's this one person who lights a fire every night at this time or something. But a lot of them haven't been like 100% completely debunked, including the Pauline lights. So I found that most people that I know or that I've talked with about it seem to think that it's either something paranormal, or they're like, nah, just headlights, which like, no, it fucking isn't. there are some people who think it's like swamp gas, but like, I don't know how many swamps we have in the UP. Like,
Yeah, I don't know.
so I don't know about that one. Other people think it could have something to do with the Northern Lights, which I would buy way before I buy headlights. Just put it out
But
there. Especially because the Northern Lights show up a lot up there. Like, a lot. So, and then other people, of course, think it's aliens.
Aliens.
Which, honestly, I would also believe that it's aliens before I believe that it's headlights, which sounds ridiculous. But when you see these things, like, there's just no way that they're headlights. And a lot of people agree with me. The Detroit Free Press ran a story about the lights in 2016, and they said that a lot of the people that they spoke with and like interviewed had initially believed the headlights theory, and then when they went and saw the lights in person for themselves, they all agree like there's no way that that could be headlights. So we all agree, right? Whatever it is, it's not fucking headlights. Okay, so I highly encourage people, if they are able or, super extremely interested, go check out the Paulding lights for yourself. Let us know what you think they are, because they're not fucking headlights. So let us know. I will warn you, it is pretty hard to find where you need to go. As evidenced by us not being able to find it and getting lost for like 6 hours. And I had already been there before at that point, so they're really hard to find. So I'm going to just give some directions here really quick, just in case anybody who listens does want to go check it out. The easiest way to get there is probably starting from the town of Watersmeet. Which is spelled just like it sounds, Waters, Meet. So you take Highway 45 north on Watersby. After about 5-ish miles, the road will start kind of bending to the right, and that's when you start watching for the road sign. It'll be on the left-hand side of the highway. It's a road called Robbins Pond Road, which is also called Old State Highway 45, just in case you ask some locals where it is and they say, oh, Old State Highway 45. It's the same thing as Robbins Pond Road. there's usually like a brown park sign, like from the parks department, right before that road. So you'll kind of have an idea of when it's coming up. So you turn down there. It'll be a gravel road. Don't freak out. It's okay. Drive down maybe like a half a mile, and you'll see like a dead end barricade made out of guardrails. And the words "Paulding Light" are spray painted onto the guardrails so that you know you're in the right place.
That sounds shady as fuck.
So, well, some nice locals go out there and spray paint it every season, I guess, because people are like, "Are we in the right spot?" I don't know, because it's hard to find. So, yeah, for all the tourists and everybody who's coming to look, they spray paint it on there so you know you're there. Which that's kind of wholesome. Yeah, and that's it. You park your car and you go peep those little spoopy lights. But also, if you do go, some pro tips: bring a lot of fucking bug spray because there are 10 bajillion mosquitoes and you will be eaten alive. Also bring snacks and beverages because obviously, and probably some toilet paper or baby wipes and some hand sanitizer because there are no bathrooms. And if you have to go, it's going to be in the woods like Smokey the Bear. So bring some provisions. Yeah. So basically, Northern Lights, not Northern Lights, Paulding Lights, maybe Northern Lights, we don't know.
Maybe.
They are spoopy. Nobody knows for sure 100% what they are. The techies think they do, but they're full of shit. And I'm sorry, techies, I love you, but you're full of shit. And yes, mystery.
Waste
So
nah.
go check them out. Form your own opinions. We will post pictures of said lights on our Instagram and our Facebook for you to see. And yeah, that's it. The Paulding Lights.
Good job. I
Woo.
had like heard of them once. The guy I dated before, Sean, Zach, we like went to his house in Houghton, and we were walking like, I don't know what the creek or preserve is, wherever he like lived, we like went across the street,
Oh, by the
like
Humane
from
Society.
that BP on your way into Houghton. And like,
Okay, yeah, yep.
yeah, so we were like walking around down there with like one of his friends, and it was so creepy and so dark. And like being from the
Yeah.
suburbs, I had never been in like that much darkness. So I felt like SpongeBob when he's like, "Advanced darkness." It was
No,
like,
that's what it's like.
yeah, it really is different. Yeah, it was weird. And they like kind of mentioned it, but I guess, yeah, I didn't really know what it was. I just knew it was like a light thing, and people didn't really know a lot about it.
Yep. It's a ghost.
Spoopy.
Creepy. So yeah, that was kind of a short one for me.
Yeah.
I usually have really long ones, but yeah, so a little local legend spoopiness from good old the UPA.
Well, I'm about to take it down a totally different route, like comically different route. So let's get into it. So I didn't know what to pick. I texted Matt like 8 times, changing my mind. And I was mostly looking up conspiracy theories because I wanted to do something light, something that was a little bit funnier, something that wasn't like too dark and heavy. And we said no murder. So I was like, oh, conspiracy theories. I love conspiracy theories. And I got buried in all these conspiracy theories. And then I just thought about this one case that I almost did for the year I was born, but I didn't do it. And if my laptop will turn on, I can tell you about it. Okay,
Okay.
there we go. Oh, nope.
Yeah, I looked at like a shitload of cults, like cult stuff, because I'm really, really into cults.
Yeah.
But all of them were either like, there's so much information, I don't know how I'm gonna narrow this down to one thing, or they were like super tiny, obscure cults that people don't really know a lot of shit about. So I was like, meh, skip.
Okay. Well, this is a crime that I feel like a lot of people have heard of, but maybe they don't like know all the details of what happened. So I don't know. I don't know how much you know
Okay.
about this. It's very, very in popular culture. And there is a recent movie about it. About
I guess? Is this about Tonya
yes.
Harding? Oh my God.
Yes. So, because the whole incident with her and Nancy Kerrigan happened in 1994, that's the year I was born. I almost did that for the year I was born, and then I was like, no, I don't want to do something that popular. So, this is the story of Tonya Harding and Nancy Kerrigan. And I feel like a lot of times when people learn about this story, they just like think about Tonya Harding's side of it and think like, oh, well, it's not her fault because of all this stuff, and like it is her fault, but it's also not. And then they kind of just get caught up on her and don't really focus on like Nancy Kerrigan as much. So it's kind of like when people read about Ted Bundy, but they forget about all the victims. So I'm going to talk about both of them.
Yeah, I don't really know anything about this except for one of them did something to the other one, and I can never remember like which is which, so I'm
Well,
excited.
if you haven't watched the movie I, Tonya, I mean, there are a lot of documentaries about this, but I feel like I, Tonya is like a good narrative nonfiction movie that's like pretty based on this pretty well. It definitely obviously tells Tonya Harding's side of the story a little bit more. And when I was looking into this, I found a lot more about her and about her side of the story. So I feel like, from what I found at least, that Nancy Kerrigan's like a little bit more of a private person. And I feel like after this all blew up, that Tonya Harding was like, okay, well, I kind of have to, talk about this to like defend myself. But I feel like Nancy Kerrigan kind of stepped out of the spotlight and Tonya was pushed into it. So, yeah, so I found a lot more about Tonya Harding, but I'm going to talk what I know about both of them. So,
Okay.
growing up, Tonya Harding had a very tough childhood. She grew up in Portland, and her family was pretty poor, but she started skating when she was about three. Now, if you think about the sport of ice skating, or like you just think about sports in general, like usually sports are easier for rich kids because you have to buy all the equipment and the uniforms and all that shit. But like ice skating and hockey are some of the most expensive sports that like kids can do.
Yeah, like my high school best friend, like, so figure skating and hockey is obviously like a huge thing up there because, you know, it's frozen all the time. But like her and her sister were both in like a bunch of figure skating like league things and did went to state competitions, and like our high school had a figure skating team that they were both on, and their brother, who I dated, was a hockey player for years, so it's like
It's,
it's a good thing they had
yeah, it's an
like their parents had money, so
expensive sport.
yeah.
Which I didn't really appreciate it until my little sister did figure skating. So we started going to her competitions like kind of early on. And it was really cool to watch her get better and like go from like just skating backwards to like doing some jumps and stuff. And I'm really proud that she still ice skates, even though she doesn't do competitions and she's not like super, super into it. But she works at the ice rink. And
Oh, that's
she did
cool.
this thing last year with her friend where they did like skate with Elsa and Anna. And so she dressed up as Elsa, even though she has red hair, which I think is hilarious that her friend like went and bought a red wig. And she went and bought a blonde wig to be Elsa instead of just being Anna because she already has good hair. But yeah, so they dressed up as Elsa and Anna and like skated around with little kids and stuff, which was super cute.
That's cute.
So yeah, and like one of the things I remember, and I totally saw this in Tanya Harding as well, is I was at one of Sam's competitions once, and so you like watch their division, and there's like four skaters in each division or age group or whatever range. And so like the first girl did like a Justin Bieber song, and then the second girl did like a Hannah Montana song, and then like my sister gets on the ice and it's like the Harry Potter instrumental song. It's just like, what a nerd. Like, she never chose like stupid pop songs for her routines. So
Yeah.
but yeah, so you'll definitely see a little bit of that in Tanya. Part of her, so like being poor, her mom hand sewed all of her costumes. So in the movie, they have like some scenes where she goes to competitions and some of the other girls are like making fun of her costume, because it's obviously handmade and like doesn't look as nice as theirs. But you can't really see from far away, so it doesn't matter. But
Yeah.
anyway, so her mom like worked really hard to sew out her costumes while she was like making ends meet, and Tanya's dad was in really poor health, so he like did some odd jobs here and there, but he didn't have like stable work. But he did teach her how to be really tough. Like, he taught her how to go hunting, and he taught her like drag racing, and he worked on cars, so he taught her a little bit of like car mechanics growing up. So she definitely wasn't the typical little like ice skating princess that you might think of when you think of like little blonde girls in Burberry like skating around.
Yeah.
So I thought that was cool. Tanya's like history is covered more extensively in the movie, and I couldn't really find like specifics, but she does say that she was psychologically and physically abused by her mother growing up, and her mother kind of denies it and says like, well, I hit her once at the skating rink, but it was just once, and like other than that I didn't. So I don't know, but in the movie she's pretty like harsh on her daughter, and I think it's probably more of the emotional like not physical, psychological abuse from her mom, but her mom like probably was raised that way too, so she doesn't like get it. Like, it seems like one of those kind of things.
Yeah.
And then she was also sexually assaulted by her half brother, but her parents didn't believe her when they told her, when she told them about it. So rough, yeah,
Yikes.
rough childhood. When Tanya was 15, she began a relationship with a man, well, I guess he was a boy, named Jeff Galuli, who was 17 at the time. She was 15. After 2 years of dating, they moved in together, and then they got married really shortly after that. They had like a really turbulent relationship, once again with like the physical and like psychological abuse. But he did pay for her food and her house and her skating so that she could like focus on skating and focus on her career. Like, he did believe in her, so it's like a little bit of redeeming. I mean, there always is like something that keeps people like holding on to the hope. So I think that
Yeah.
was it for her, was that Jeff was funding her skating, and so she didn't think she could leave and afford skating and everything. And obviously, she couldn't go back to her parents and expect them to pay for it or help her. So,
Yeah.
so we'll move on to Nancy Kerrigan growing up. So, Nancy grew up in Massachusetts in a pretty middle class family. Her older brothers played hockey, and so she started skating at a pretty early age. She would like tag along when they played hockey, but then at the age of like 8, she transitioned her hockey skills into figure skating. And she started winning like junior competitions like a year or two after that. So she just like immediately was just took to it, and she just was naturally good at it. Nancy's father sometimes worked three jobs to pay for her skating. One of them was driving. They called it the ice resurfacer, and I was like, "Excuse me, it is a Zamboni.
That's a Zamboni.
It's a Zamboni." So her father drove the Zamboni in exchange for her ice skating lessons.
That's cool.
Yeah, and that's pretty much all I could find about her childhood. So, but her and Tonya Harding were relatively like they would have been the same age or a year apart or something in school. They were born, I think they were a year apart. And they came up in the skating world, both in the late 80s. They started winning more regional titles, and eventually they both ended up in national competitions together. So we get to 1991. Harding and Kerrigan have been rivals for a while at this point. And February 14th, 1991 is the U.S. Figure Skating Championships. Tonya Harding becomes the first woman, the first U.S. woman, sorry, and the second woman in history to land a triple axel. So that's like what she
That's a big
would have
deal.
been known for. Yeah, that was a big deal. And now it's kind of common to do double or triple axels in a performance,
Yeah.
is what I was reading. But this is like the first time that a US woman did it in competition. So it really was a huge deal. So that's February 1991. So March 1991, the International Skating something, I think, the ISU World Championships. I didn't write what ISU stands for. in Germany. And Nancy Kerrigan gets the bronze, but Tonya Harding gets the silver medal. So she like barely edges her out as a rival. And then they both keep kind of taking turns winning things, national champion, and then the other one is national champion, and then one wins this, but the other one wins that, or they're like neck and neck. So they're like pretty fierce rivals. And then we fast forward to January 6th, 1994. While she was heading to practice, Nancy Kerrigan was clubbed. From behind a curtain, they like hit her in the back of her knee. And somehow there was a camera there right afterwards. I couldn't really find anything on why the cameras were there, like as soon as it happened when she was on the ground, but they were. So that is kind of the incident that made, national headlines all over with Nancy Kerrigan crying and just saying, like, why me? Luckily, she only had bruises, no broken bones. But
Okay, wait. So, like, she was just like walking around and somebody just like leaned out from behind a curtain and like clubbed her behind the knees.
yeah, someone just took a baton and like just rammed it into the back of her knee.
Fuck?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the whole big incident.
Okay.
So, no broken bones, but she did have a lot of bruises. And so this was on January 6th. The national championship was on January 8th. And that national championship was to qualify for the Olympics. So she wasn't able to skate in that event, which was like detrimental. With Nancy Kerrigan unable to compete, Tonya Harding won the gold at the 1994 U.S. Figure Skating Championships. She secured her spot at the Winter Olympics in Norway, I believe they were that year. But then to support Nancy Kerrigan after her attack, all of the fellow skaters were like, "Oh yeah, we have to give Nancy a spot on the Olympic team because she would have qualified. Like, we know she would have made it."
So with the Olympic thing, did like somebody else give up their spot for her, or did she just like join the team?
I don't know. I couldn't find like what specifically happened. But she made the team. So That was January 8th. So January 11th, 1984, the FBI starts investigating Tanya Harding's bodyguard, Sean Eckert, who confesses that he was involved in the attack. And he also names this guy named Shane Stant, and a guy named Derek Smith, and Jeff Galouli, who was Tanya's ex-husband at the time. They had gotten divorced like the following or the fall of 1993, but they
Okay.
kept like living together because she couldn't afford to move out on her own. So they
Even as ranked figure skater? Oh, okay.
yeah. So obviously her ex-husband was like the mastermind of the operation because these other guys are just randos. And so the FBI issues a warrant for Jeff Galouli's arrest. And then January 14th, formal charges are brought against the three men. So Shane Stant was a drifter who was paid $6,500 to commit the crime. So he's the one who actually clubbed her in the back of the knee with a baton. And his uncle, Derek Smith, who was the getaway driver, who was also paid $6,500 to commit this crime. And then I couldn't find what Sean Eckert's like part was in this, but he was involved in the attack. So they're all arrested, and well, not arrested, the charges are brought against them. Nancy Kerrigan appears at a press conference, which is the first one since the attack, and is trying really hard to remain positive, and like, I don't know, she just seems like a really cute and like nice person from everything that I've read about her. Like, she just was trying to stay really positive and be like, yeah, you know, like I'm lucky that it wasn't something worse or whatever. So that was a big deal for her to just come out a few days after the attack. The USFSA, which is the United States Figure Skating Association, was like trying to decide if Tanya Harding should be allowed to compete in the Olympics in light of the attack involving her ex-husband.
Okay, wait. So they tried to kick her out of the Olympics for some shit her husband did? Or her ex-husband did?
Because they thought that she was involved as well because it was her rival.
Yeah, but
Galouli,
do they have proof of that though?
no. So
Okay.
ultimately is allowed to compete because they don't have any evidence, and she denies that she had any involvement in it. So she's like, nope, I didn't do anything. It was my stupid, shitty ex-husband, and I didn't do anything wrong. So, yeah, the next day, Jeff Galouli surrenders 4 days after the warrant is issued for his arrest. He was like on the run for a few days, but then he decided that that wasn't a good idea, which is, yeah. no, not when you do something of that magnitude, because it's like the crime doesn't seem that bad. Like to hit someone in the knee isn't that terrible, but like if it's going to jeopardize their career and they're an Olympic athlete, and this was January 1994, the Olympics were that winter. So they were like a few away. So this is like qualifying events, and it is a big crime, but it's also not if you just take the basics. But yeah, this is like supposed to be one of the biggest sports scandals in history. So yeah, I don't care about sports, but
Me
I
either.
like this whole thing, and I don't think I'm gonna do a very good job explaining it, as much as like a documentary or like a movie would, but I'm doing my best. So, January 27th, Jeff Galouli confesses that he was the one who masterminded the plan, which I said obviously, and he implicates Sean Eckert, the bodyguard, Shane Stant, who was the one who did the attack, Derek Smith, the getaway driver, and he implicates Tanya. So her response to that is, despite my mistakes and rough edges, I have done nothing to violate the standards of excellence and sportsmanship that are expected in an Olympic athlete. And like, as a PR person, I don't know who put that statement together, but damn, is it good. So yeah, they didn't have any evidence except for him saying that she was involved in it as well. But then it's like, do you believe this person's ex-husband?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. To get a lighter sentence, Jeff Galuli testifies against his ex-wife, Tanya Harding. And then a few days later, the cops or the FBI or whoever went through their trash and they found handwritten notes with Nancy Kerrigan's practice schedule for her rink in Massachusetts. And a handwriting expert confirms they were written by Tanya Harding, which I personally don't get how this implicates her in the crime at all because the attack was committed in Detroit. At the Cobo Arena when they were like going to like some kind of Olympic practice or competition or something. So I don't think that having her practice schedule for Massachusetts has anything to do with her being at this event in Detroit. Like there's an
Yeah.
event at 5 p.m. and all of the people competing for the Olympics are going to be there. That's public knowledge.
Yeah.
Like, so I don't really get the whole note thing. February 17th, so this is like just a month and a half after the attack. Nancy Kerrigan gets back on the ice, and her and Tanya Harding attend an Olympics practice session, and it's the first time that they were skating on the same ice since the attack. So there's like a bunch of really awkward pictures, of Tanya Harding like looking kind of distressed, and Nancy Kerrigan's like in them too. So those are pretty popular from this case. Kerrigan later reveals that she purposefully wore the same outfit she was wearing when she was attacked. And she says, humor's good, it's empowering. So that's like, I don't know, that kind of makes me like her to just be like, I'm gonna be a bitch and wear that same outfit so that she feels bad.
Yeah.
So I don't know. February 25th was the Winter Olympics, and so Tanya Harding is like skating her low 5'1" heart out, and she stops in the middle of her routine, and she goes over to the judges' booth and like pops her skate up on the edge of the rink, and there's a really famous picture of that too, and she was complaining about a lace that had snapped in the middle of her routine. So she was asking the Olympic judging panel to let her do a reskate. And while they eventually allow her to reskate, it doesn't do any good because she comes in eighth place, which I think at the Olympics is still pretty good if you're the eighth best in the whole
Yeah.
world, but you know, it's only eighth place. and like a lot of people call it karma, even though there's no evidence of her doing anything besides the note, which I still don't get how it connects her.
Yeah.
So at the Olympics, that's how Tanya did. Everyone like knows that Nancy Kerrigan's gonna win the gold. She completes this like amazing routine. She does really well every time in the light of the scandal, and like everyone knows about this. The Olympic Committee knows about it. Like that's like a big deal. She's the front runner to win the gold. And then she ends up getting silver because there's a surprise upset. From a 16-year-old Ukrainian skater named Oksana Bayul.
Oksana Bayul? Oh my God, yes.
So, surprise upset, Kerrigan gets the silver medal. And there's supposedly something about like Oksana was crying, like she was just really proud and excited. And apparently Kerrigan didn't know she was on TV or that the camera was rolling or something. And she was like, oh my gosh, can we just start the ceremony already? Because we all know she's gonna just keep crying. So it was just like, I like Nancy Kerrigan. She seems really like down to earth.
We'd be friends with her.
for real. So March 16th, 1994, so after the Olympics, about a month, Tanya Harding ends up pleading guilty to conspiracy to hinder prosecution. So she says that she knew about the assault plot after the fact, which obviously, if someone attacks your main rival and you have a shitty, shady ex-husband, it's like, plausible. She pleaded to knowing of the assault after the fact, settling on a cover story with Gulli and Eckert, so they all collaborated. She witnessed pay phone calls to Smith, so they were calling Derek Smith to like confirm the story with him, so that they all had the same story. And on lying to the FBI on January 18th, saying she had nothing to do with it. So she ends up getting 3 years of probation, a fine of $100,000, and 500 hours of community service, which I don't know. I don't know what kind of sentence is usually issued for conspiracy to hinder prosecution. So, but I don't think that's
Yeah.
all that bad. Later, she says that she was raped at gunpoint by Jeff Gulli and two other men that she didn't know, and that they threatened her life if she revealed anything about the incident. And after learning a little bit more about her relationship with Jeff, like, it is plausible that he would have done something like that. He is a stupid, shady piece of shit. So, and then in June of 1994, Tanya Harding's national championship title is revoked, and she was permanently banned from the U.S. Figure Skating Association, which essentially ended her professional skating
Yeah.
So, all three of the guys that were, or f all four of the guys, ended up serving jail time for the attack, and Jeff Gulli is out now. He changed his last name to Stone, so now he's Jeff Stone. I don't know what that does for him, but he is just living his life, I guess.
All right. I mean, to be fair, Galooly is a pretty terrible fucking name, so I'd probably change that shit
I
too.
mean, yeah, but that's like memorable. Like, it's not like Johnson committed a crime. Like, if your last name is Gulli, people are going to
Yeah.
be like, was that you?
Yeah.
So with the release of the movie in 2018, and all right, now it's been about 25 years since the attack. With the release of the movie, Shane Stant speaks to the media for the first time since the incident, and he apologizes to Nancy Kerrigan, which is like 25 years later, like a little bit too late, bro. He says the original plan was to either cut her Achilles tendon or like take her out.
Like, just fucking kill her?
I mean, it didn't say kill her. It specifically said take her out in quotes. So whatever you imply that meaning. But yeah, so like a knee injury for a few days is pretty mild compared to what they could have done.
Yeah.
He now owns a marijuana business in California.
Of course he does.
Tanya Harding is now happily married. Her new name is Tanya Price. She had a kid at the age of like 40, and I just thought that was weird. Because, like, I don't know, she's a little bit older than my mom, and she had her kid in 2011, and I was born in 1994.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
She's probably, wait, when was, do you know when she was born? Was
1970?
like, okay, yeah, she's older than my mom. Yeah, she's older than my mom, and like 94, my mom had two kids and was on her way to a third.
A lot of people say that she had limited knowledge of the attack. Tanya has never like come out and said exactly the truth, but it was kind of inferred from the court case that she did know something about something, whether that was before the attack happened or after or whatever. But some people think she like helped plan the attack. And after, I don't know, reading about her and like watching an interview with her and stuff, I just don't think she would. But then I was reading something about how she like beat up one of her boyfriends and threw a hubcap at him, and like he got so bloody that the police were called, and it was like a domestic dispute. So I don't know
Shit.
what to believe on this case, which is pretty rare because usually I'm a very opinionated person and I'm like, okay, this is what I think. But yeah, so I don't know what she knew, but I definitely think she knew something, if not before the attack, at least after the attack.
Yeah.
And then Nancy Kerrigan does not skate any. Oh, I forgot. Tanya Harding still skates 3 times a week. So I thought that's
Well, good
nice
for
that
her.
she just loves doing
Yeah.
it and just does it. Nancy Kerrigan doesn't skate anymore, but she does choreograph ice skating routines a lot. She got married in the 90s, had some kids in the 2000s, and has just been like living a normal life pretty much. She said that she developed an eating disorder after the attack, so she's now an advocate promoting awareness and resources for eating disorders, especially in athletes. With the pressure to perform and all of that. So I thought that was cool.
Yeah.
So that's that.
Yeah, that's cool. I never knew that. Like I said, all I had heard ever was like one of them had done something to the other one, and I didn't know exactly what that was. I'm like, I don't know.
Well, now you know.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Nito
So that's our not a murder episode.
I'm into it. It's nice to have a lighter one every now and then.
Yeah.
Job.
What do we want to do next time?
Well, I know that we had talked about like international serial killers, like doing serial killers that are not from America.
Okay, I already have mine written up.
Oh, damn, girl. I have to pick a serial killer.
Go in the encyclopedia.
I will. Yeah, Natalie sent me this amazing encyclopedia of serial killers. But it's only volume one. It's only A through D, and it's like all of them ever, but only the ones that are solved.
So it's called. The official title is The World Encyclopedia of Serial Killers, Volume 1. It's letters A through D, and it's by Susan Hall. Came out pretty recently by the company that I work for, and we will be publishing Volume 2 in August. And that volume has,
Is the Golden State Killer in
yes,
there?
he is. I was just going to say, it's
Woo!
Joseph D'Angelo in it. So,
Which is important because today was the day that he went to
and
trial.
pled guilty,
Yep.
which is
I know,
great.
Matt. It was I because I totally forgot that that was today, and then I'm in this like this group of like just some random girls who are like, oh yay, true crime. And my friend Jen was like, this fucking Golden State Killer. She was like watching the trial and she's like, him and his old man fucking act. She's like, I just want to punch him in his fucking face.
Yeah,
I totally forgot about that.
he looks pretty
And
miserable in everything that I've seen of him recently, and like I would be too. It was like 50 years that he didn't
Yeah.
And then he gets caught as an old man, and he's like, "Well, I thought I could die in peace, but now I'm." So.
Yeah, like Matt was like looking it up because he didn't really know anything about it. And he's like, oh, he pled guilty. And I was like, well, he is fucking guilty. They have DNA evidence like proving that he's fucking
Yeah.
guilty. And Matt's like, oh my God, he did so many things. And he's like listing all of the things he pled guilty to. And I mean, he pled guilty to things they weren't even charging him for yet. And so Matt was like, Jesus fucking Christ. So I was like, you need to read I'll Be Gone in the Dark right
Yeah,
now.
he really does. That's a good one. And it's,
Yeah.
yeah, I don't know.
That's a really good one.
I can't imagine like finding out that that's your next door neighbor.
Oh my God, I know.
That it's like this nice old guy. I'm assuming he's nice. He could be creepy or weird or whatever, but it's just like, oh yeah, this old guy that I live next to. Yeah, he killed and raped like 100 people.
Like, I mean, don't get me wrong. I've had some sketchy ass fucking neighbors, so I'm like, yep, yeah, definitely could have been a murdering rapist. But like, I don't know. I don't know. I can't even imagine what that would be like to be like this person that you've lived next to and have known for how long
Yeah.
winds up being one of these terrible people.
Yeah. So don't know, but yeah, I did see that. We have a really cool book on the Golden State Killer that is actually an addendum to the Criminology podcast, which like their first season was the
Oh.
Zodiac Killer, their second season was the Golden State Killer, and we have supplemental books with a lot of pictures and stuff for both of those. So
Very cool.
yeah, I thought that was cool.
Neato.
So, if
Wow.
we have any fun ending things,
Well, this episode wasn't really a drag, so
that's
is there
true.
anything? So I guess it's pretty open. We don't have to say something positive.
That's true.
So I guess that's whatever you kind of want.
Okay, well, I was inspired by this thing that's on my floor to tell this story. So, we have these friends, and you know them, Katie, and I think they have the
Okay.
cutest fucking baby in the world. It's Garrett and Sarah. I think Levi is just the most
Okay.
precious little adorable baby. And so they've done a lot for me fraternity-wise to like inspire me. And I worked with Sarah when she was national president and all this stuff. So like I wanted to like make them something for their baby. So I did this and I started making this little Winnie the Pooh lovey. And so I had like the perfect like golden color for Winnie the Pooh, and I had the perfect like red for his shirt. So I was trying to make a lovey. So I made a little like, just a really big granny square that was like red in the center, so it looked like it was his shirt, and then gold for his tummy. And I tried to make a Winnie the Pooh head, and I just like could not get it. Like every time I did it, it looked fucking demonic. And I was like, I can't send this to a child. It's terrible. So I never ended up sending it to them. Their kid is 2 years old now, and their second kid's on the way. Anyway, so I'm just like,
Wait,
I
what?
said their kid is 2 years old now, and their second kid is on the way. So like,
Wait,
yeah,
what?
they're
They're having
having a
another
kid.
kid?
Yeah. Yeah, they
I
posted that the other day. So like, yeah. So like, I'm very happy for them. And I'm very sorry for not sending Levi his lovey. It's somewhere. It doesn't have a head though. So it's just like a really little square blanket. But
Well, now I feel like a dick because I never told them congratulations because I didn't know they were having another baby. Okay, as soon as we're done, I'm gonna go say, hey, congrats. I'm sorry I'm sick. I totally missed that.
was like 2 days ago.
Okay.
So you're not missing much. And the only reason I know all these things about everyone's life because I'm on social media constantly for work. So I have Winnie the Pooh's head on my floor right now. I pet, and I couldn't get the eyes and the nose to look right. The ears looked fine. It just a fucking demon. So I couldn't send it to a child.
When my one sister first announced that she was pregnant, like the first niece, nephew, whatever, I was like, okay, like I'm gonna make this was for my niece. I was like, I'm gonna crochet her a blanket. And then my other sister announced that she was pregnant. So I was like, okay, I'm gonna crochet her baby a blanket. So I made one for my niece, Evie. And then one for my nephew Gray. And then very, very quickly, my sister who had my niece announced that she was pregnant again. And I was like, okay, so I'm gonna make a blanket for this new baby. And then my other sister was like, oh, I'm pregnant again too. And I was like, what the fuck? So I started on blankets for both babies, have never finished them. Let's see. Shane, my sister's second, so Evie's little brother, he will be one in August. And I have never finished this blanket. And then let's see, my other sister just had her baby last month, I think. I can't remember. But yeah, I have one row of that blanket done for that baby, for Azrael. So I'm sorry, babies. Your aunt sucks. I can't.
Oh yeah.
There's too many and it's too
Her
hard.
kid is about to turn 5, and I know that because I messaged my aunt on Facebook and was like, "Hi, do they have a nursery theme? I want to make a surprise blanket." And like, my cousin isn't on social media. Like, she has a blog, but she doesn't like do any social media or anything. So yeah, that was 2015 that she had a baby, and I had that blanket finished just sitting around for years.
It's fine.
Finished it, I just didn't mail it. I'm literally the worst at mailing things.
Am too. I'm really bad about mailing things. I have this stack of stuff that I had bought like when quarantine first started, that had to be returned for whatever reason, and I just never took them to get returned. I mean, to be fair, like I also didn't have a car for like a month and a half because my car kept like not starting and whatever. So, yeah, Matt and I were just cleaning up because our apartment's been a fucking cesspool since quarantine started because Matt is not a good cleaner. He is a very messy person, and like I can be a messy person, not as messy as he is. But I just don't like cleaning. So like I just try not to make a mess because I don't like to clean. Matt extra doesn't like to clean though. Like if I'm like, oh, okay, I need to clean this, like I can just focus and like knock something out in 15 minutes, like boom, the living room will be clean or whatever. But Matt, for him to literally do like one task, it's like a 45-minute process because he allows himself to become distracted by the stupidest shit. And yeah, so our apartment's just been disgusting. But I found this like box with all of this shit that I had planned on returning. And everyone has like a 30-day return policy. So, yeah. Okay. Next week, International Serial Killers. So we'll be back to gloom and doom.
Yeah. Sorry if we were a little chipper this episode. Our bad. We'll be back to our regularly scheduled
Yes,
crippled
and it's
depression next week.
I mean, it's very ironic that I am able to be a little bit chipper now because, like, literally all day I've been like crying and like, I don't know, the last couple of weeks especially have probably been the worst my mental health has ever been in my entire life, which is saying something. So you're welcome, you
We're channeling all of that depressedness into our podcast for you to listen to.
Yes, honestly.
So we can drag you down.
About these murders. Yes. And honestly, talking about this stuff is like the only stuff lately that's like making me feel any kind of anything resembling serotonin. So,
I mean,
thanks, guys.
I love my job. But if we could be professional true crime podcasters, I would do it in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I don't love my job. So, yeah. Hopefully something will change on that front soon because, yeah. If anyone from work listens to this, sorry, guys, but I can't. So.
Yeah.
I sincerely doubt it, though. Most of them are pretty devout, hardcore, like, Christian people. Something tells me they wouldn't like our podcast.
I said once in front of my mother, and she was like, oh. I'm like, oh, you clearly didn't listen to the podcast that I sent you, did you? And she was like, no, not yet. I'm like, okay, maybe don't listen.
Yeah, my mom... My mom says fuck more than I do, so.
I mean, mine does too.
Like, if I'm on the phone with her. Yeah, that's true. She does. I don't know. Like, if I'm on the phone with my mom, we'll be like, this motherfucker, blah, 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 fucking shit. And then someone's like, who are you talking to? I'm like, oh, my mom. They're like, what? I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. Fuck.
Back at APAC.
All right. This is called the fuck episode.
No, this episode's going to be called It's Not Fucking Headlights.
It's not fucking headlights.
Not fucking headlights.
Yeah. Trying choo-choo, motherfuckers.
Okay, well, so, Rep is signing off. Choo-choo.
Yes. Choo-choo. We hope you're spooked.
And crap.
And you're crap. Yeah. And then we will see you guys next time for International Serial Killers.
Ooh.
Yeah. Okay, bye guys.
Bye everyone.